You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. And we return here. It is a Purple Friday episode here on Friday, June 25th. And we are back to talk about more Ravens football, but it's not going to be directly Ravens football. We're going to be taking a look today at the Ravens opponents in the AFC North, the Steelers, the Browns, and the Bengals. And those three teams, like, it kind of got me thinking yesterday with the Steelers releasing guard David DeCastro that I wanted to discuss each of these teams because they are the teams that Baltimore is going to be facing twice a year. Obviously, whoever wins the AFC North gets an automatic playoff berth, and it's going to be, I think, an extremely competitive division in 2021. Now, there are obviously some teams who are better than others, and we will discuss those, but just kind of getting into an off-season review of what the rest of the AFC North did, because now we're past the draft and we're really past most of the huge waves of free agency. Probably some minor moves will still trickle in at some points in the coming, you know, days, weeks, months, whatever it may be, but I wanted to talk about those three teams. So in the first segment here, we're just going to go in order of where they finish in the 2020 AFC North standings. We'll talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. In the second segment, we'll talk about the Cleveland Browns. And in the final segment, we'll talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. And again, what they did in the offseason, how it relates back to the Ravens, how they match up against the Ravens, kind of go over some 2020 stats that some of the players had, and much, much more. So with all that being said, we are going to jump right in here. But before we do that, as always, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast. We are there waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnRavens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, we are going to dive right into it here, and let's start off with those Pittsburgh Steelers, 12-4 in 2020. They won the division. They were one game ahead of the Ravens, but would have still won if the two teams were tied, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh won both of the games against Baltimore in 2020. Now, Pittsburgh started off very, very strong, undefeated for pretty much a majority of the season before really falling off the cliff towards the end of the year. They struggled, teams adjusted against them, Ben Roethlisberger kind of fell off, and then in the playoffs, Cleveland beat them handily in the wild card round in a game that Pittsburgh didn't really look like themselves whatsoever. So that was something that, you know, I think some people were honestly expecting, and heading into this offseason, not many knew what was going to happen with Ben Roethlisberger, but he did return, and many are thinking now that the Steelers aren't going to be as good in 2021 because Ben Roethlisberger has been steadily declining. Pittsburgh losing their rushing yards leader in James Conner. They lost the right side of their offensive line in DeCastro and also Alejandro Villanueva, who is now with the Ravens, but their offensive line wasn't really that great to begin with, and they didn't really do a ton in the offseason to upgrade it at all. They signed Trey Turner, who was formerly Los Angeles Chargers guard. He played for the Panthers. He's a five-time Pro Bowler, but his play has fallen off of a cliff. In the wide receiver room, they got Juju Smith-Schuster back along with Deontay Johnson, and they have Chase Claypool in there as well. Eric Ebron returns, James Washington, and they drafted Najee Harris, who was their first-round selection. I think he's going to be a phenomenal player, but, I mean, the key for me on the offensive side of the ball for Pittsburgh is, what are they going to do with that offensive line? Because as I have said, and as I think a lot of people view it, you can't really do anything up front and you can't really do anything on offense without a good offensive line. And it's really because if the offensive line isn't great, players are going to be in the defensive backfield 1-2 seconds into a play, which means running backs can't get to the second level. They can't develop a head of steam. Quarterbacks, they're going to be rushing throws. So if this offensive line truly is as bad as a lot of people think it's going to be, and I don't think it's going to be very great this year, I think it is a bottom five offensive line. I mean, look at a Baltimore defense. I mean, Pittsburgh's offensive line right now is pretty young. They have a lot of young players on it. I'm not saying they can't be good in a couple years, but it's going to take some time to fully mesh. And, you know, Zach Banner is now the veteran on that offensive line, and he missed most of the 2020 season with an injury. So they're going to have a lot of shuffling to do, I feel like. And for a defense like Baltimore, who with Don Martindale runs those exotic blitz packages, You know, it might be tough. It might be really tough for Pittsburgh to get anything going against teams like that who have those stout defenses, complex defenses. Not anything against Ben Roethlisberger either, but I mean, I do think we've seen with him the decline in the deep ball. And Pittsburgh obviously being the fastest throwing offense in 2020, I think that trend continues. A lot of short stuff, a lot of intermediate stuff. It worked in the beginning half of the year and even leading up towards the late half, but then teams started to adjust and that's what happened there. On the defensive side of the ball, the Steelers, it appeared like they were going to lose a lot of their leaders. Vince Williams ended up getting cut, and Tyson Alualu ended up signing with the Jacksonville Jaguars for a brief time, returning back to the team that drafted him. But those two players actually returned, so the Steelers get a bit of a boost there. But the Steelers cut cornerback Steven Nelson, who was arguably their second-best cornerback. They lose Mike Hilton, who was one of my favorite slot cornerbacks in the entire NFL. I think he caused the Ravens tons and tons of issues. And obviously the big one is Bud Dupree, who missed a lot of games due to an injury in 2020, but still, him and T.J. Watt together were a formidable duo. They didn't really do a ton in terms of free agent additions on the defensive side of the ball. They're going to rely on guys like Alex Highsmith at that edge position to take that next leap, and a few others as well. And, I mean, look, I think the Steelers' defense still is going to be a very good one. Obviously, they still have guys like Minkah Fitzpatrick and Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt, Terrell Edmonds, Joe Hayden, Stephon Tuitt. But at the same time, they did lose a bit of talent, and they are getting Devin Bush back too. But with the whole thing with Ben Roethlisberger, and with the Steelers offensive line being, I mean, I think quite literally the Steelers offensive line right now is in shambles. They're going to have to, I think, do something with it. It's going to be a problem. They might have to trade for somebody, sign somebody off the street, who knows. But yeah, I think the Steelers might have to do something there. And then also with the loss of Steven Nelson, which I think is their biggest loss on defense outside of Bud Dupree, it could be a bit of a tough year for the Steelers. People have them going like 4-13. I don't think that's going to be it whatsoever. They're still going to be decently competitive in my mind, but at the same time, I mean, I don't think this is a 12-4 year for them. I think it's probably a third place finish for them, unless the Bengals really, really have a good year, and we'll talk about them in the final segment. But I just don't see them competing with teams like the Ravens and with the Browns. And I mean, if you go back to Pittsburgh's game, the second game that they played during what most people called, honestly, the COVID Bowl or something along those lines, the Ravens didn't have almost half of their team, and Trace McSorley almost led that victory. Robert Griffin III started it off, Trace McSorley finished it, and they almost beat a almost healthy Steelers team. The Steelers had a couple of guys out as well. But then the next week, the Steelers play the Washington football team. And then after the win, because Washington did get the win, Chase Young said, yeah, Baltimore exposed some things. So clearly Baltimore is doing something right. How much do we expect? The Steelers also parting ways with offensive coordinator Randy Finkner. So we'll see how Matt Canada, who is now their offensive coordinator, will do. I think it's probably going to be around a 500 year for the Steelers, maybe a game better. Well, I mean, they could go 8-8-1, and that's, you know, the closest thing you can get to 8-8 anymore because of the 17-game schedule. But Pittsburgh, to me, is a team that I think will regress. I don't think they're going to regress as much as many people think, not to the point of, like, 3 or 4 wins, but I do think it's probably a 8-9, probably 10-win best season for this team. And that will help the Ravens, because I think that really this is a two-team race between them and the Cleveland Browns. And we're going to be talking about the Cleveland Browns when we get back from our first break. So we're going to get into that first break right now. But when we return, we'll be talking about those Cleveland Browns. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of the UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we've returned here with our second segment of this Purple Friday edition of Locked On Ravens, AFC North edition. Kevin Ostreicher still here with you. And we just talked about the Pittsburgh Steelers and their kind of offseason review. And now we're going to get into the Cleveland Browns, who, in my opinion, are by far the biggest threat to the Ravens in the AFC North, and one of the big four that I have in the AFC. I'm going to be referring to those teams leading up to the season at least a lot: the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Cleveland Browns. No particular order. That's just how they came to my mind. So for the Ravens, I think Cleveland is the team they have to keep their eye on, and it's going to be tough to beat this team twice a year. Obviously, Baltimore has had some success against Cleveland, and by some, I mean a lot, over the course of their franchise history, but I do think that this Cleveland Browns team is different, and I was telling people, if you have been with me for a while, if you had been with me during the 2020 offseason, I was telling people the Cleveland Browns this year are for real, and they went out and they almost won the AFC North. They had an 11-5 record, the same record as the Baltimore Ravens, but with all the funky tiebreakers and whatnot, the Ravens ended up being ahead of them, and the most important tiebreaker being that the Ravens beat the Browns twice, so they had the head-to-head. But this year, Cleveland, I think, has a very well-balanced roster. Last year, you could point to the defense. You could point to the secondary of Cleveland, and you could identify that as the huge weakness on that team. But I think Cleveland did a great job in the offseason of adding some talent at, I think, a lot of holes on their defense. They bring in Malik Jackson as a defensive tackle, Jadeveon Clowney as an edge guy next to Myles Garrett, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who I've talked about a lot. They brought in John Johnson III, who's going to be phenomenal for them, I think, at the free safety position. They're also getting Grant Delpit back. They drafted Greg Newsome II, who is going to provide them with some slot cornerback depth. Can Greedy Williams play this year? So, I mean, they do have some talent there. Now, the question is, can that talent stay healthy, and how are they all going to mesh together? Obviously, Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward, I think they're two best players on defense, and not to even mention Troy Hill. This team is literally five deep at corner between Denzel Ward, Greedy Williams, Troy Hill, Greg Newsome, and also AJ Green. Not receiver AJ Green, but corner AJ Green, who I expect to honestly maybe take a leap. They're at least four deep, but I think they could take that leap to five deep at the position. On the offensive side of the ball, not a ton of changes, to be honest. The Browns ended up re-signing Rashard Higgins, who I thought was going to be a great target for them. Their offensive line is still intact. They had a couple of pieces here and there that they added, but nothing too huge. They're still rolling with Baker Mayfield at the quarterback position, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt making up that 1-2. They're getting Odell Beckham Jr. back this year to go along with Jarvis Landry and Higgins. Austin Hooper, Harrison Bryant, David Njoku make up a nice top three. Andy Janovich is their fullback. And then that offensive line, which was one of the best in football during the 2020 season. So, yeah, the Cleveland Browns on paper look super scary. Can they put it all together? Well, they did it in 2020. I don't expect why they couldn't do it in 2021. It's going to be a two-team race, in my opinion, for the AFC North, and that will be between Cleveland and Baltimore. With Cleveland in 2020, I think what their issue was a bit of consistency, to be honest. We saw losses to teams that they had no business losing to. The Jets game. They lost to the Jets, who ended up having the second overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft. It was those types of losses that I think people, again, oh, it's the same old Browns. They're doing it again. They're blowing this and they're not doing that well. But I think now, obviously, Baker Mayfield was the first overall pick in the 2018 draft. Lamar Jackson was the 32nd overall pick in the 2018 draft. But this is what I want to look to, and I've talked about this earlier in the week, but it's that stretch of games that Baltimore has against the Browns. Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. For Baltimore and for the Browns, it's Baltimore by Baltimore. I mentioned at the top of the segment that I don't think Baltimore is going to be able to beat Cleveland twice this year, and I think part of it has to do with just how talented Cleveland is. I'm not going to discredit them for what they've done this offseason, how they've built their team. I think that John Dorsey did a really good job of doing a little bit to build this team up. He made a lot of nice decisions, including drafting Baker Mayfield and drafting Nick Chubb, getting Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. And now he did make a couple of not so great moves, you know, overpaying for people and trading away assets and contracts and whatnot. But I think Andrew Berry has also done a phenomenal job of kind of rounding out this roster. You notice a lot of big names, but also names that people don't really necessarily know about, and those guys performing extremely well. And when talking about preparing for an NFL team, you know, you have that week, you're focused in on them, and that's usually it. You know, you have that week, you maybe do a bit of prep beforehand, obviously, but then you move on for the Browns. In week 12, they face Baltimore. In week 13, they can rest up, study that film, and be able to go then in week 14 when they play again in Cleveland and make those adjustments. For Baltimore, they're going to have to flip to a Pittsburgh game, which is going to be tough. It's going to be physical. It's going to be hard fought, obviously. That's just what Pittsburgh-Baltimore games are, and I love it. But then to turn around again and play a really good Cleveland team, that stretch, that three-game stretch is going to be tough. I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm just going to say it's going to be extremely difficult, especially with what this team has done in the offseason. I think Cleveland was one of the big winners in the offseason. They signed John Johnson to a very team-friendly deal, in my opinion. They were able to get some steals in there, too. I talked about Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah for a very long time as a potential Ravens target. Baltimore did not have the chance to draft him in the second round. They had the chance to draft him in the first, but decided on Rashad Bateman and Adafi Owe instead, which I'm completely fine with. There were concerns about Owusu-Koramoah's heart. There was a heart issue that I think maybe scared some teams away and put him on medical watch, but he's on that team now, and that team has a bunch of guys who can fly around and do a lot of different things. But where I think they are weak against this Ravens team is still on the defensive side of the ball. The offensive side of the ball for Cleveland, for some reason, there's this thing that I always think about and I always notice with Cleveland is they just seem to move the ball so well on the Ravens defense for some reason. It's kind of like what Kansas City does, except Kansas City, I can put my finger on it. It's the Ravens can't beat them with blitzing. They have to do it without, at least in my opinion. But with Cleveland, there's just something about it. They really work the underneath routes. Jarvis Landry's always a menace against them. Odell Beckham Jr. hasn't done a ton against them. Marlon Humphrey's done a pretty good job. But on the defensive side of the ball, they still need that Lamar Jackson stopper, someone who I think a lot of Browns fans have kind of placed that title, placed that crown on Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Owusu-Koramoah is a smaller linebacker, though. I don't think that, you know, when you're looking at guys and how Owusu-Koramoah can feed off of the Browns' defense, he has to get past the Ravens' offensive line first. If he gets a straight shot, then yeah, you know, he can keep up with Lamar Jackson. He can do this, he can do that, but he's 6'1", 215 pounds. The Ravens' offensive line is a big group of people. Imagine Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah going up against Ben Cleveland on the whole. Who do you think's going to win that battle? Probably Ben Cleveland 9 times out of 10, maybe even 10 times out of 10. So he has to get around that offensive line. Baltimore's offensive line is not the same. Cleveland's defense is obviously improved. I'm not going to say they're not, but I do think that the outlook for this Cleveland team against the Lamar Jackson-led offense is still going to give up a lot of points, especially if a guy like Jadeveon Clowney doesn't make the impact that I think a lot of people are expecting him to. Olivier Vernon was pretty injury-prone during his time in Cleveland, didn't really play a ton there. But the Browns lost their leading tackler in B.J. Goodson, so they did sustain a few losses. Sheldon Richardson, who gave the Ravens a ton of problems, is gone, and also Larry Ogunjobi on the defensive line as well. So it's not like Cleveland didn't lose people because, I mean, they certainly did, but their team is very deep. I expect definitely an 11-win year for them at a minimum, 11-6. I could certainly see 12-5. I could even see 13-4. I'm going to go 12-5, though. I think that's where I'm going to put Cleveland. They have to go up against a third-place schedule where Baltimore has to go up against a second-place schedule, but that third-place schedule includes New England. Now, it also includes Houston, and that's not great for the Ravens, but, you know, the Ravens have a few games on their schedule. It'll be easy wins, and so do the Browns. So I see a 12-5 year for this Cleveland team. I think Baker Mayfield will take another leap. You know, it might not be a huge monumental one, but I think it will still be a leap, and he will lead the Cleveland Browns to their second straight playoff appearance. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we return, we're going to be getting into the Cincinnati Bengals to round out our AFC North offseason review of the Ravens division rivals. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Wander from pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked on in there, how'd you hear about us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. What's your favorite Built Bar flavor? Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, including coconut, coconut, almond, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel? Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And we return here with our final segment of this Purple Friday episode of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Olszewski, your host, still here with you. And we're now going to get into the last place team in the AFC North in 2020. And that is the Cincinnati Bengals, led by quarterback Joe Burrow, hopefully at least for this season, because the Bengals and their offensive line ended up, unfortunately, not being as good as many anticipated. And Joe Burrow got injured and suffered a pretty gruesome knee injury. So Cincinnati in 2020 finished 4-11-1. That was their last place record in the AFC North. But they did some things to improve this season in the offseason. And so I think that they're not necessarily going to be a competitor for the AFC North title, but I do think they're going to have a much improved season from their 2020. Obviously, the big addition for them was Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver who they took over some of the best offensive linemen in the 2021 draft class. They're pairing him up with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, so they have a very, very solid wide receiver room, along with Auden Tate and Mike Thomas in there as well. Joe Mixon returns, and he, hopefully Bengals fans hope, he is fully healthy for a season. He was bothered by a foot injury for the majority of the year last year. The offensive line is still a bit of a question mark. They do have Jonah Williams at left tackle, and hopefully get Xavier Suofilo back at left guard. Trey Hopkins is supposed to be their center. Jackson Carman, the rookie, is their right guard. And Riley Reiff, who they signed from the Minnesota Vikings, as their right tackle. They signed Larry Ogunjobi from the Cleveland Browns and Mike Hilton from the Pittsburgh Steelers. We talked about them both in the first and second segments. The team also bringing in Trey Hendrickson, the edge rusher. They also have Sam Hubbard as the other edge guy. Trey Waynes is going to hopefully return for them and be good. Von Bell, and obviously one of the best free safeties in the NFL in Jesse Bates. But they did lose Carl Lawson, the edge defender, to the New York Jets, and William Jackson III to the Washington football team, their star cornerback. So they did suffer a couple of really big losses on that defense. And even on offense, you know, they didn't suffer a ton of losses. Giovanni Bernard was one who ended up only averaging 3.4 carries for them. Anyway, AJ Green is now gone. He is with the Arizona Cardinals now. But I do think this is growth. I think this is a big year for Zach Taylor, obviously, too. I think that if he does not live up to his expectations for yet another year, it'll probably be not Zach Taylor time in Cincinnati anymore. I mean, I can certainly see that happening. Where Cincinnati struggled last year against the Ravens, at least in the first game with Joe Burrow, because that's what I'm going to go off of here. Obviously, Joe Burrow was a rookie. He didn't really see a lot of NFL action, only played in 10 games for the Bengals before going down. And, you know, he said that he had a tough time against that Baltimore defense. And everything considered, Joe Burrow did not get a full 16-game season to play. He only got those 10. So that's where I'm looking to for the Ravens to maybe take advantage of Joe Burrow's inexperience. The Ravens on defense obviously have been feasting on rookies, second-year guys, third-year guys for a while now. Joe Burrow, no exception to that. The team will see players like Justin Herbert and maybe Justin Fields in Chicago, who knows, and a couple of others as well. The Ravens, with their exotic blitz packages, they're defensive, they put everybody up at the line, they do this, they do that, which really confuses young quarterbacks. So for Burrow, that could be a concern. And Baltimore's defensive secondary is one of the best units to go up against this Cincinnati receiver group, with Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Tavon Young, Jimmy Smith, Anthony Averett, and Sean Wade, for me, as the top six corners on the roster right now. Joe Mixon seemingly usually struggles against the Ravens, although he will have a big game here and there. And for the Bengals, they didn't really have a true tight end threat. Drew Sample is going to be that guy for them, or at least they hope Drew Sample is going to be that guy for them. But I think that CJ Uzoma coming back is going to be a really big addition, and maybe Thaddeus Moss, Joe Burrow's teammate. It's really looking like LSU Cincinnati out there for the Bengals, because they have plenty of LSU players on that team, including Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, who will be reunited in a Cincinnati Bengals uniform. So That's on the offensive side of the ball, but on the defensive side of the ball, DJ Reader maybe will hopefully make an impact for them, and maybe Logan Wilson takes a second-year leap. Jermaine Pratt, the infamous Jermaine Pratt in Baltimore, who said that the Ravens' season was ending and then the Ravens ended up stomping the Bengals in Week 17, he is still on the roster, so maybe he makes an impact, but this still isn't a defense to me that screams, yeah, we can stop this Ravens high-powered offense, especially with the improved offensive line, with Sammy Watkins and Rashad Bateman, with another year of J.K. Dobbins, another year of Marquise Brown, and obviously another year of Lamar Jackson. That's the big thing. And Lamar Jackson, I expect to take a big leap. And that against this Cincinnati defense, where I look in the secondary and the safeties are good. The safeties are good, but the corners, I'm not trusting a team that really doesn't have a lot of great corners. It looks like Eli Apple is their fourth cornerback right now, which isn't great. Eli Apple has not lived up to expectations. Is Trey Hendrickson going to be able to replicate the production he had in New Orleans? We will see. Akeem Davis-Gaither is a really interesting prospect. I liked him coming out of the 2020 draft, but at the end of the day, I think Baltimore still has the pieces to probably sweep Cincinnati. Again, the Ravens could fall into a trap game in one of those two, but I still think the Ravens take 2 out of 2 from the Bengals, and in terms of where the Bengals finish, again, I do expect an improved year from them. I don't expect them to be in that 4-11 territory, 4-11-1 territory. I expect 6, 7, 8 wins from them. 8 is probably being a bit generous. I'll probably say 6 or 7. So whether it's 6 or 13 or 5 and 12, or 5 and 12 is like the worst case scenario for them. And I think probably 8 and 9 is the best case. Maybe 9 and 8 is the best case. But I do think they are on the right track. They still have a year or two to go, but with an improved year, at least this year, I think they will be ready to compete in 2022 or 2023, and for them, that's what's most important, is to keep stacking growth, stacking development, and then they'll be able to compete for years to come. That's all that I have for you today. We're going to take a 2-day break here on Locked On Ravens, but when we return on Monday, we'll be getting into more Ravens talk, continuing our Ravens 2021 positional preview series, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you on Monday.